One of the things you can do with this number of musicians is you can explore things in different waves and then you kind of weave them together. Is that what it is? It's a sort of tapestry in a way.
Well, you know, yesterday we'd been rehearsing for a week and I made them all throw the music away. So stop reading the music. Make it your own now.
Another winter comes, his icy fingers creep into these bones of mine. These memories never sleep.
My job is to bring the creative juice out of everyone, so they all have a stake in it. You know, they all contributed something, an idea here, an idea there. And we're all part of this. It's a curious thing. You don't know what the end result is. None of us.
I must have loved you. I must have loved you.
Here you go.
It's the force that binds the stars. I wore this mask to hide my scars. Is the power that pulls the tide. Never could find a place to hide.
I don't dot every I and cross every T in the music at all. I just give them a general plan and then I shape it. But it's definitely their creative project as much as it's mine.
Without a say, the moon's a fingernail.
Irony, this is the biggest band I've ever had, like 35 musicians making the quietest music. But it's very rich, and it's, you know, it's my job to sift through the layers and find that, and then move that aside and find that. There's some beautifully delicate playing here. They're all fantastic musicians. I'm so lucky to have them.
Sought your attention. You were my compass star. You were my measure.
We have Ira Coleman on double bass. Peter is an extraordinary traditional fiddler. David Mansfield from New York, who plays all kinds of strange mandolins and psalters and things I can't pronounce. I have a wonderful group of singers. Lisa Fisher, famously worked with the Rolling Stones. Joe Laurie. I use the Moroccan percussionist called Ronnie Krieger, who I've worked with many, many times.
Must have loved you.
So what do these stones signify?
Well, they used to be where I lived.
Interesting.
There were terraced streets running down to the river with a shipyard in between. And then they knocked the houses down and they found this Roman camp. It's an army camp. Segedunum. Wall's End is the end of the Roman wall. This was the end of the...
This is it?
The outpost. The end of the
this
Roman
as far
Empire.
As we got.
But it was, when I think about it, it was kind of a mythic landscape to grow up in. I sort of took it for granted as a little kid, but...
Was it noisy? Were these ships noisy? Were they building or were they...
Well, there'd be a lot of banging and hammering and acetylene torches going off and cranes moving around. This is the Spanish Battery. It was a gun emplacement that protected the River Tyne. And it was a famous place for... the trysts of lovers. One famous night, I had a new girlfriend. I had a lovely mini. I think I changed every part on that mini that I could. Had a fiberglass front, and I drove her down here in the moonlight, down this hill. I thought I was James Bond or something. And I hit the bottom of the hill and hit the North Sea. It was a high tide. And within seconds, we were in 4 feet of water. And she wasn't very impressed with this. So the ignominy of actually having to call my father up the road, I said, Dad, my car's in the sea. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I said, would you come down and tow me out? So he came down in his milk van with a tow rope, and he just handed me the rope. He didn't help me. But he sat with a girlfriend and had a cigarette. And I towed my car out here, and she never saw me again.
It's beautiful.
Very nice in the moonlight.
Beautiful.
I asked a friend of mine from New York, Steve Hannock, to come to Newcastle, because I thought he'd be inspired. He's a landscape painter. He's actually the only living painter in the Met in New York. I said, why don't you come to Newcastle? I think you'll find it inspiring.
Right.
Right.
So he came and he took, you know, he went in a helicopter, he took pictures of the river and from, all the way from Newcastle to here. And he didn't just do that, he spent 6 months here studying the whole area, the archaeology, the history of the mines, of the shipbuilding and
right.
everything. He did this wonderful landscape. And then he finds out that his great-great uncle in the late 19th century was a pre-Raphaelite painter. He didn't know this. His great uncle's most famous painting is of the River Tyne. Where I come from is around that bend where they'd build the ships. And they'd launch the ships backwards out into the river and then they'd come out here and then they'd never come back, of course, they were too big, but sort of became a symbol for my life, I suppose. My parents met here in a dance hall on the seafront there in the plaza.
Right.
Burnt down. I had a lot of romantic trysts in this very spot.
Nice spot.
Various girlfriends.
Nice spot.
It was a great spot. In the moonlight.
I could feel it. I could feel it.
Romantic.
I could feel it.
I got married in this little church here on the seafront.
Really?
St. Oswin's, yeah. In 1976.
How many people were there? 12?
Or maybe 30 or 40 people.
Oh, good.
There are so many ghosts for me.
I can imagine.
More than I anticipated. People I've lost, and girlfriends, friends, musicians, parents.
Right.
So this is Colour Codes here. Just see where that white pub is there. You can just stop there, just for me. So this is was a little fishing village called Colour Codes. You could buy what we call shrimp, so you'd call prawns, but little, very fresh from old ladies in doorways.
Really?
Yeah. It's a beautiful village, and I've just been reading it was an artist colony.
Really?
Would come in. There's an artist studio right there.
This is beautiful. This is truly beautiful. The church, this whole routine.
There used to be a shipwreck here when I was a kid. I don't know how old it was, but
it was sitting there?
It was still there.
Hell.
And that woman Chrissy was telling me yesterday, her family come from here. And she was listening to Christmas at Sea.
Right.
And she said, oh, that song really resonates with me. My whole family were killed in a lifeboat in Colour Codes.
A lot of the inspiration for this sort of winter solstice, comes from Schubert, from The Winter Riser.
I think as a model, The Winter Riser by Schubert was definitely on my mind. And it would have been churlish not to have, you know, made that point. So I took one of the songs I could sing, which is the Leia Man, which is the hurdy-gurdy man.
In the snow there stands a hurdy-gurdy man.
Very melancholy story of this man standing in the snow, taking his hurdy-gurdy, and no one's giving him any money and his hat. And then the observer realizes that it could be him one day. And I do.
Okay, why don't we do the last?
Same place.
Same place.
My father's brass, the furnace is the fuel wounding thorn.
I asked my traditional crew, I said, give me some songs, Christmas songs. And they scratched their heads. The Burning Babe. I said, teach me.
So the first time we were over here rehearsing for the album, we brought the song Burning Babe to Sting, and he didn't know it, so I sat on the couch beside him and sang it over and over and over. And I say, it was like a dream. It was just incredible for me to be doing that.
Mary and Julie and I had played that in a different project a few years ago and thought that could be a great song for this.
The poem is a very macabre image of the poet walking on a cold winter's night in the dark, suddenly being confronted with the infant Jesus burning, covered in flame and in agony and suffering for the sins of man. And then the poet says, and then I realize it's Christmas Day. So it's a very dark, the dark side of Christmas.
That's just a great hit.
Now that's rock and roll.
Make every solo section different, and not all the same. So just think of that. Apart from that, I think it's fantastic. I'm so thrilled and honored and absolutely delighted.
So we'll see everybody on Monday.
Down by the shipyards, we found a pub called the Ship Inn, which I remember from being a child.
This is where they'd build the ship here. The front end here, the back end there. And we start with nothing and just a superstructure of metal, and then the ship would take shape. But really, you have to imagine something three times the size of this pub looming above the house.
That's kind of amazing.
And huge ships, I mean, not just ships, massive tanker. But this is the famous ship in the hull.
What does a free house mean?
Ship in the, that means it's not attached to a brewery.
Ah, okay.
But the ship in the hull is, there's a dry dock here. They're repair ships. I used to be a patron here.
I think my dad knows, he's on his way. Nice to
see you.
Thomas,
my friend Bob.
Hello.
Are you Sunderland supporters? Why no, man.
Wow.
When are you opening up again?
December. It's going to get a refurb, completely changed.
Well, it's a fantastic place.
Whoa! Come on, what are we talking about here?
We should do a gig here.
This is beautiful.
Can we do a gig here?
I love this.
We walked in there, it was very nostalgic, and asked the landlord if we could do a gig. Hi, how are you doing?
We're about 4th Street.
Nice to see you.
Pleased to meet you.
Hope you'll be back.
Yeah, your dad used to be, milkman.
That's true, everybody was there, come on.
There's a green milk floating out of the station.
We turned up that night and we did these songs in what was, you know, a very thriving community at one time, but now it's, with the shipyard's gone, it's been destroyed. The street I was born in has been leveled. They found a Roman camp underneath it. There's not even a blue plaque to me. I mean, where's the justice?